In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today, I have to talk with you about the history of the church. Forgive my poor English. I'm not an American. I'm not British. I'm just Egyptian. So, forgive me if I say something wrong. Egypt, from the beginning, was the refuge that the Holy Family sought in its flight from Judea, as it is written in the Bible. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I call my son." Starting from that time, the history, or the new history, of our Egypt. I'm sure you know from where word Egypt came. The word Coptic, derived from the Greek word Aegyptus, which was in turn derived from Hekiptah, and Hekiptah, it's the land of Ptah, and Ptah was a god, one of the very famous god of Memphis, the first capital of ancient Egypt. So Hekiptah, it became Aegyptus, then gradually it became Egypt, and which we are saying now Egypt. And Hekiptah, Coptic, is now, it's not only described the Christians in Egypt, or the Egyptian Christians. The Coptic Church is based on the teaching of Saint Mark the Apostle, who brought Christianity to Egypt during the reign of the Roman Emperor Nero in the 1st century. He martyred in the 60 AD, and he planted the seeds of Christianity in this country. Christianity spread throughout Egypt within half century of Saint Mark's arrival in Alexandria, and maybe you know the story of Saint Mark. When he came to Alexandria and God planned everything for him, he put for him everything in the right way so he could be able to meet Ananias, and since then the Christianity spread all over Egypt. The Coptic Church, which is now more than 19th century old, was the subject of many prophecies in the Old Testament. And you can find that in the Bible. But what I'm concerned is today about how the Copts could be able to survive all these centuries. You know, we were in the beginning when Saint Mark came, we were under the Roman Empire, and after 7 centuries, from the 1st century up to 7th century, the Arabs invaded Egypt in the 7th century, and then that time we are also living with or under the supervision or some people not from Egypt, not Egyptian, I mean. The Copts have survived as a strong religious entity who pride themselves on their contribution to the Christian world. The Coptic Church regards itself as a strong defender of Christian faith. The Nicene Creed, which is still until today in all churches throughout the world, has been authored by one of the favorite son, Saint Athanasius the Apostolic, the Pope of Alexandria, the Pope number 20 of the Popes of Alexandria. The contribution of the Coptic Church to Christendom are many. From the beginning, it played central role in Christian theology. And I'm sure you hear you know about the School of Alexandria is one of the oldest schools in the world. Soon after its started in 190 AD by the Christian scholar Pentinos, the School of Alexandria became the most important institution of religious learning in Christendom. Also, maybe you know that the Coptic language remained up to the 11th century. The Coptic language was used by the Egyptian up to 11th century. And in the 11th century, they started to use both Arabic and Coptic. Why the Copts left their language? I'm not sure if you already got a study about the Coptic language. Did you? Yeah. So the Coptic language was used by the Egyptian, but by force they stopped talking or speaking in Coptic, because in the time of the ruler Ibn Allah al-Fatimi, I don't know in English, this is his name. So he stopped completely by force all the people to speak in Coptic language. And actually, as I read of in one of the manuscripts, that 17,000 of tongue's mother has been cutted by the government at that time just to stop talking with their kids in Coptic language. So there were spies everywhere listening, and if they hear any mother speaking with her child in Coptic language, they cut her tongue. So maybe some people now say that why the Coptic language destroyed completely in our church, why we are not using it anymore. But this is from the 11th century. It was a disaster for the church, and they stopped completely using the Coptic except in churches, and they hide themselves. You know, the curtains in our churches now, in our on the sanctuary, it started from that time just to hide or to cover their voice so nobody could listen to them while they are speaking or praying in Coptic. In the history of the church also, the Coptic church was misunderstood in the 5th century at the Council of Chalcedon. Perhaps the council understood the church correctly, but they wanted to exile the church, to isolate it, and to abolish the Egyptian independent pope who maintained the church and state should be separate. So we are asking to separate the church from the state long time ago until today. We are always asking for that because we believe that we cannot just mixed them together, the state and the church. Throughout the last century, the Coptic Church has played an important role in the ecumenical movement. The Coptic Church is one of the founders of the World Council of Churches. It has remained a member of that council since 1948 AD. And also the church is a member of All African Council of Churches and the Middle East Council of Churches. The Coptic Church played an important role in the Christian movement by conducting dialogues aiming at resolving the theological differences with the Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Presbyterian and Evangelical Church. For the four centuries that followed the Arab's conquest of Egypt, as I told you, that Coptic Church generally flourished and Egypt remained basically very Christian. The Coptic language, as I told you now, that stopped completely in the 11th century. In the Coptic Church, the monasticism started by Saint Anthony the Great. So, when Saint Anthony, he born in Upper Egypt, in the year 252, and he started his monastic life in the year 270, and since then the monasticism spread all over the world. And if you come to Saint Anthony Monastery until today, the monastery which I belongs to, you can find some cells from the fourth century, and we discovered just a year ago or so. The cell which I'm living in, it's built 500 years ago. So Egypt is the rock of Christianity. The Christians in Egypt, now there are around 13 million out of 80 million in Egypt, but they are still Christians, and they fill the churches every Friday and Wednesday, and all the masses around the world, around Egypt, you find thousands and thousands of people in the churches praying and asking the Lord to help the world. Still also around 3 million around the world, either in Canada, USA, Australia, Asia, Europe, everywhere. The church started by faith and remained with faith. I believe Christianity is still strong. Sometimes we feel that the time of faith and saints has gone. No, I'm telling you. Still the history of the church every day building itself by our Christians. I've seen many saints in my life. I lived with saints too. Miracles everywhere until today. The church is alive. And this is the our Coptic Church. I will tell you some of the stories which you might not hear about it in our history. But I'm not telling you about history of 19 centuries ago or so. No, I'm telling you about history of just a few years ago. It's a part of the history, of our history. In our monastery, for example, I lived with monks, those who were very, very sensitive people. And I believe that they got their sensitive life throughout their faith and simplicity. We are very complicated. Our education destroyed us. We are always thinking and thinking everything, in every single detail of our lives and the things around us. But they were living their Christianity in a very, very simple way. I remember that one of the fathers who was he died in 1994, not died but departed, but went to heaven. Very simple. He was very simple, and he never went to a doctor. I respect doctors, of course, but he refused even to go to any doctors before in all his life. And he was making miracles in front of our eyes, just very simple and very easy, as if he is doing nothing. I remember one of the ambassadors came and asked about him to meet him. And we asked the ambassador, "Are you sure you want to see Father Tedros?" He was a very simple man. He said, "Yes." Okay. We asked Buna to meet the ambassador. Actually, he couldn't understand what does it mean, ambassador, because ambassador in Arabic means safir. And also there is another word very close to safir, is ghafir. And ghafir is a guard from Upper Egypt. So we said to him, "The ambassador wanna meet you." I said, "What? Ghafir?" We said, "No, Safir." He couldn't understand. And we were laughing that he couldn't understand the meaning of Safir even. And he said to us, "Let him wait for me in the church." We said, "Abuna, he's a very important guy. He cannot meet you in the church. You have to meet him in the place of for VIBs." He said, "No, in the church, close to me here." So we said to the ambassador, "Would you please wait for, can you meet our father here in the church?" And he met him. Abuna wasn't care about his looking or his clothes or anything. But the ambassador was very, very eager to meet him. And we didn't know why. Why even asked about him? So when Abuna met him, he said to him, "Enta al-Ghafir?" So we translated in another way, "Are you the ambassador?" He said to him, "Yes, yes, yes." He said to him, "Okay, Hawili." We said to him, "Abuna, this guy cannot do that." Hawili means to fan him or something like that. "Abuna, he is a very important guy. You can't ask him such a thing." He said, "No, no, let him, Hawili." We tried with him, we argued with him, but he said, "No, he is the one who is gonna." I said to him, "I will do it." He said, "No, you are a ego man." The other father said, "I will do it." He said, "No, you are a priest." We said, "Abuna, this is important guy, VIP. He said, "Not important that priesthood. Nobody important than that. Nobody in the world more important than the priesthood." And the ambassador told us, please don't argue with him. Why you are doing that? Tell me what's going on. I said, actually, he wants you to fan him. He said, what do you mean? I said, just like potato, or take this carton and just do it like that. It's in Arabic, hawi. So he needs you to fan him. He said, okay, I will do whatever he wants. Okay, go ahead. He knelt down beside him. And Abuna laid down kada, and he started to fan him. Yahweelo. And we were very young. We said, Abuna, we are embarrassed that you are doing a very bad thing. He said, no, let him do it. And the man did it. And Abuna took a nap. And if the man stopped, he opened his eyes and said, Hawi! And the man started again. So we were in that for 30 minutes. As we educated people were very impaired, but for him, nothing. After around 30 minutes, he stood up and took the carton from the man and said to him in Arabic, and we translated, you are a good man, you have a very good heart, go, you will have a baby, and you will call him John. And he left him. The ambassador was very astonished and said, Did you tell him? We said to him, we are sorry, Your Excellency, you didn't tell us anything. He said, I came specially for that reason, because I've been for 13 years, I have no babies, and one of the employees in the embassy told me, a Coptic one, told me, if Abuna Tedros prayed for you, you will have a baby. And he said, I believe now that I will have a baby, because he knows everything without telling him anything. Actually, in the next year, he came with his baby, John, as Abuna Tedros told him. But Abuna, after he did so, he didn't even think about it. He just left him, and as if he did nothing. I remember that one day he went into coma, though I took him into my car, and I was in charge of the monastery at that time. And in the car, he opened his eyes. I said, Abuna Bishoy, where are you going? I said, I'm sorry, Abuna, I'm taking you to the hospital. He said, no, hospital, no, please. I said, Abuna, doctors are very good people and we love them. And you will love them too. He said, no, I love them, but I don't want to go to them. Please. I said to him, Abuna, you know that I'm in charge now and I love you so much. So if something harm you, happened to you, I'll be in a very bad situation and I'll be very upset. So let me take you to the hospital, and if you don't want to go in, I will come back. He said to me, look, I understand now, you have to take me to the hospital, but I don't want. So what if I die? I said, what? He said, what if I die? Die? Abuna, what are you saying? This, it's not an option. You can't say, I wanna die, you will die. No, this, I'm teaching him while he was a saint. He said to me, no, Abuna, if I die, you will be happy, that because I will go to heaven, right? I said, yeah. I said, and I will be very happy because I will be with Jesus. I said, yeah. He said, okay, it's a very good option for me. I said, no, Abuna, I will be okay. He said, okay, sing one of the songs, one of the hymns to Saint Mary. I started singing to him in the car, and he just made his hands like cross, and he departed very peacefully. He just went to heaven. Very easy. I didn't know that it was one of the options in the menu of his, of Abuna, that you can choose to die, and he died. That's very simple for him. So, in the history of our church until today, many saints. We might don't know them, but they are there among us. They are not only monks or nuns, they are also laymen and laywomen. They are among us. I'm telling you about the recently history of the church, which I lived with. I remember in one of the churches in Lower Egypt, they told me to go and meet a girl. She was very ill with cancer. And they told me that, Abuna, you have to know that the girl has no parents. Her parents died long time ago. And she has no sisters or brothers. And one of the her relatives, very poor guy, took care of her, and she's living in his house. I went to see the girl, gave comfortable to everybody in the town. Anybody having any problem, just he has to go and visit her and he will get comforted. And she's sick, lay down in her bed for a year and or a year and a half. I went to visit her, and her place was very dirty. I mean the street or very narrow and bad smelling everywhere, and the house was very poor but clean actually. And she was like an angel laid down on her bed. And her name was Amal. Amal means hope. I met her and I said, "Hi, Amal." She was 19 years old. I said, "Hi." She said, "Hi, Abuna." I said, "Are you okay, Amal?" She said, "Yes, Abuna, I'm fine. I'm very good. Everything is very good. Thank God." Some of us couldn't say thank God while we have everything. She said, "Thank God, I'm okay, I'm fine." I said to her, "Do you have any x-rays or something like that, which I can ask one of the doctors about your health?" And she said, "Yes, Abuna, I have some." I took it and gave it to one. I met one of the famous doctors at that time. And he said to me, "No, we need more x-rays and other things." He asked me to know for her. I took her into my car. I went to the hospital. I did everything, x-rays, everything. And I took this paper, and very big file, to the doctor. What did he say? He said to me, "Buna, this girl, I can't believe she is not dead yet. The cancer in every place in her body, bones and flesh. So give her this rubber to put it under her teeth so she won't cut her tongue from the pain." I went to her and I said, "Amal, how's your pain?" She said, "I'm okay." I said, "I mean, do you have any pain?" She said, "Yeah, I have sometimes headache." "Headache? I mean pain." She said, "Yeah, headache. Sometimes I got headache." I said, "Yeah. What do you take for headache?" She said, "Aspirin." "Yeah, So there is no need to tell her about what the doctor said. Then she was very close to Abanub. Do you know the story, the Saint Abanub church? And I said to her, you were serving in Saint Abanub church. What if we take you to Saint Abanub so he might make miracle with you and heal you? And she said, you know, Abuna, my parents here are very poor. They are not her parents, actually. And you know that it's very expensive to take me every time to the church there. And Saint Abanub knows that. So instead of I go, he comes. I said, who comes? She said, Saint Abanub. I said, Abanub, the saint. Ali, yeah, the saint. Ask my mom. So I asked the lady there, I said, Amal is saying that Saint Abanub comes and visits you here. She said, yeah, he's a very nice boy like that. He's always in the house in our apartment going around, and if Amal is praying, he's always beside her bed. I said, do you see him? She said, yes, and the kids too. I said, yeah. What you do when you see? She said, Abuna, we asked you in the church, and you said that if you see something strange in the house, make the sign of the cross. I said, yeah, I said so, but I didn't know that we are talking about Abanub. And she said, yeah, and we are always doing that. And I said, then? She said, nothing. Abanub also makes sign of the cross and disappear. That's very good. That's great. Abanub was visiting her and standing beside her bed, but he didn't cure her. But he stopped the pain from her body. And this is very important. One night, Amal opened her eyes and she was praying, I think. And she loudly asked everybody to come. And she said to everybody, Saint Mary said to me that she's coming after half an hour. She will pass by. So she said to me, I have to anoint my body with the holy oil. So please get me the oil to anoint my body. So they were happy and rejoicing that Saint Mary is coming to heal her. And they wore izagratu, arkin izagratu, it's like that. And they asked all the neighborhood to come and see the miracle will happen with Amal. And after 30 minutes, Amal, her face was shining, and she was looking up there, and she was smiling, and she said to Saint Mary, yes. Yes, Saint Mary, I did. And I anointed myself with the holy oil. You want me to come? Okay. And she departed. She went to heaven very easy. With whom? With the Queen of Heavens, Saint Mary. I said to the people at that time that some people are living in palaces, but they don't have such opportunity that Saint Mary, the Queen of Heaven, of all the angels, she's on top of the heavenly hosts. She came to be with her while she's departing from this life or this world. So still in our church, saints, still among us, saints, confessors, those who are everywhere in Upper Egypt or Lower Egypt or in many places are suffering. I consider them as confessors. So, my beloved, the history of the church will not end. The history of our Christianity will not end. it will remain very strong Christianity. Sometimes you feel the church is weak. No, don't say that. God is there working among us, doing many, many miracles among us, not only here, everywhere in the world. All what you need is just to carry Christ in you. Carry your faith from place to place. You might know that I was serving in Africa, 1980 up to 1983. I've seen many miracles with my eyes in front of my you can't imagine how God was working and working very clearly. And when I felt that everything has gone and the miracles has gone, in 1985, I went to Canada. I went to Canada. And I was going from place to give lectures. I remember that I went to a house, and in that house there was an old lady with her grand two children. Then the boy was he had only one eye, and the other one had no pupil in it. It was completely white. And the boy said to me, when he saw me, they were Canadian, so they asked me about this. What this? I said, it's hood. What's a cover? It's Colon Sowa. I said, what is this? I said, this is crosses, 12 crosses here and 6 and 6, and one from behind is Jesus Christ, a symbol of the 12 apostles and our faith. I said, yeah. And what this? I said, this is a leather cross. And what this and what that and what this and what that. They asked me everything about me. I mean, they thought that I came from another planet or so. So while I'm just telling them about Saint Anthony the Great, and I told them actually about Saint Anthony, he started the monasticism all over the world in the 3rd century, and he's a saint and still praying with us all the time in heaven and doing a lot of miracles on earth. The boy said to me, can Saint Anthony come to Canada? I said, of course, he can come to everywhere. He doesn't need a flight. He can come without a flight, without anything. He said, can he come to our house? I said, of course, if you ask him, he will come and visit you. He said, can he pray with me as you are saying that he is praying with us always? Said, yeah. He said, okay. You said that he's doing a lot of miracles until today, right? I said, yeah. He said, okay, let him cure my eye. So I said to him, no, we are not doing that. We are very biblical Christians. The Bible is very important in our life. And every word in the Bible is very important to us. So, it's written in the Bible that if somebody is sick, he has to ask the priest to come to his house and anoint him with the holy oil, praying the unction of the sick. Then, the prayer of faith will cure him. So I am here a priest. I have the oil. I will pray for you the unction of the sick, but you need to have faith to be cured. He said to me, well, what does it mean faith? He's just 6 years old or 7. I said to him, faith is to be sure that God can do anything, the impossible things. He said to me, Do you have faith? If I ask you now, do you have faith? You will say, yeah, of course I have faith. Good. I said the same. Yeah, I have faith. He said to me, from where did you get your faith? I said to him, of course not from the supermarket or... Never ever somebody asked me, from where did you get your faith? Actually, I told him as a boy, a young boy, I said to him, look, we get our faith from our mothers. When they feed us while we were babies, they put with the milk faith. So we got faith with milk, like shay bilaban kada, or faith with milk. So we got our faith from our mothers, thank God. He said to me, but my mom gave me nothing. He said, this is your problem, Ba, with your mother. He said, so if one like me, he was saying that, if one like me he got nothing from his mom, can he get faith now? I said, yeah, of course. Christianity is alive, and is alive in you and me. So you have to ask Jesus, and he will give you faith immediately. He said, really? Jesus will listen to me and will hear my prayers? I said, of course. You have to be sure of that. He said, for how long am I going to pray to Jesus to give me faith? I said, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 5 months, maybe 5 years, I don't know, this is between you and Jesus. I said, how could I know that I got faith? And you will be convinced, very sure in your mind, that Jesus can do anything, and that the sure which it is in you, it will be more strong than the whole world. So if the whole world came and said no, it will not happen, you find yourself more confidence that Jesus will do it. This is faith, and this is one of the signs that show that you have faith. And in the meantime, you will find your heart pulsing with joy and happiness. This is faith. He said to me, can I try? Try what, Habibi? What do you want to try? He said, to get faith. I said, yeah, you mean to pray? He said, yeah, I will pray to Jesus to give me faith. I said, okay, go ahead. He went out to the other room and started crying to the Lord. And I was hearing his prayers. He was crying seriously. Said, please Jesus, please give me faith. I have no faith. Mom, give me nothing, but you can give it to me now. And he starts praying and praying. Very simple. And after 12, 13 minutes, he came back with tears and with a lovely face. And he said to me, Father, I have very strong faith. Very strong faith in what? He said that when you anoint me with the oil and you pray the prayer which you said about it, and Saint Anthony will come and pray with us, with you, God will cure my eye. I said, but look, it might happen, because I was afraid that might not happen, so it will be a disaster for the boy. So I said to him, it might not happen. He said, no, it will. God will cure my eyes, I'm sure. Father, don't say that. I'm sure Jesus will cure my eye. I said, it's okay if you have such faith. I'm sure Jesus will cure you, Habib. And after we have our supper together, I prayed for him. I anointed him with the holy oil. And I went to my room. Actually, I couldn't sleep because it was very essential situation. And I was praying for hours until I just slept. Yeah, laid down as a dead person because I was traveling all the way. And in the morning, early at 8:39 a.m., I found the boy and the girl on top of me, kissing me, and said, "Look at my eye. I told you Jesus will cure it, cure my eye." God created for him a pupil from the scratch. I was in tears, and I said to him, which one it was, because I forgot which one it was, yani without a pupil. Until today, Jesus is working. Until today, the history of our church, and it will never end, as I told you. All what we need is to believe that God is there. God in our hearts. We have to believe in Him. Have faith. Jesus will never let our church down. He will not let you down, because He loves you and me very much. And this is our faith. So, I have to talk with you about the history of the church. So we talked together about Saint Mark and his coming, when he came to Egypt, and the rule of our church, Coptic Orthodox Church, in the world and in the new world after in the 19th and 20th centuries. And we talked together about how the church is still alive, and the history of the church will never end, by the saints who are living among us, and the faith which is in you. And I believe you are a part of the history, and you have to be a part of the history. God is giving every one of us a message, and you have to carry this message and fulfill it. And ask God, what is your mission you want me to be or to fulfill? And God will clarify for you what He wants from you. And I believe that the history will continue till Jesus coming. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Thank you very much.